إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطيت جوامع الكلم ومنابع الحكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, week in and week out we hear many khutab, we hear many lectures, and we hear people preaching and telling us advice from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Today's khutbah, inshallah, will be advice from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that he gave us. And there are many, many ahadith that are all-encompassing, that if a person just puts one of those ahadith into practice, then basically that will be sufficient for his whole life. Only one hadith. And there's many cases that, you know, some Arabi, some Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him some questions, and that Bedouin said, I'm going to practice this hadith, I'm going to practice what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And when the person turned away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that if that person is telling the truth, then he's going to Jannah. And that shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice, it was all encompassing. And why should it not be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not talk from his own desires, but whatever he says, they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desire. What he does say, it is a wahi that has been revealed to him. So the wahi is actually distributed into two kinds: wahi matlu and wahi ghair matlu. Wahi matlu means that wahi, that revelation that we recite day in and day out in our salat, out of our salat, which is of course the Quran. And wahi ghair matlu is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, which is also regarded as a form of wahi, as a form of revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't talk from himself, but it is a wahi, it is a revelation that has been given to him. And the Prophet ﷺ himself, he says and declares about himself, أُعْطِيتُ جَوَامِعَ الْكَلِمِ. I was given the ability to speak short and concise sentences, but yet all encompassing, that cover so many things. And we see time and again examples of that if we study the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. A small advice, yet it carries so much weight. So this is the subject today, inshallah. I'm going to cover a hadith which has a few advices from the Prophet ﷺ, that if we put those things into practice, that will be sufficient for us to lead our life as a Muslim. It's a riwayah narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, أمرني خليلي بسبع. My beloved, he ordered me to do seven things. Khalil means a very close friend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. The laqab, the nickname, if you could use that word, of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was Khalilullah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he's saying that about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that my beloved, he ordered me to do seven things. أَمَرَنِي بِحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينِ وَالدُّنُوِ مِنْهُمْ. He ordered me to love the poor people and to stay close to them. He ordered me to love the masakeen, the poor people, and to stay close to them. What we tend to do is we want to stay closer to people who are well off and who have some status, who have a position. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said no. Stay close to the masakeen. And even the Prophet ﷺ, there was a point in his life, in the life of Mecca, where he was thinking that I should try to befriend those people who have a position in Mecca, who have wealth, and who, if they become Muslim, the other people might be affected by that, and they also might become Muslim. So his intention was absolutely clean. He had a wonderful and clear intention that he did it, and he was thinking about that for the sake of the promotion of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed certain verses in the Quran, telling him, no, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Hold fast to those people who call upon their Lord morning and evening. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا, and they want His pleasure. They want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Don't avert your eyes from them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, with the intention of getting the zina, the beauty of this worldly life. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And don't follow those people that have made their hearts devoid from the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are following their vain desires. So even the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to hold fast to those poor people who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleasing Him night and day, and not to pursue people on the basis of their wealth and the basis of their status. So this is the thing that he ordered Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu to do. أمرني بحب المساكين والدنو منهم. He ordered me to love the masakeen, the poor people, and to stay close to them. وأمرني أن أنظر إلى من هو دوني ولا أنظر إلى من هو فوقي. And he ordered me to look at those people who are under me and not to look at those people who are above me. What does that mean? In worldly terms, we should always look at the people who have less than us. That way, we will be appreciative of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And not look at those people who have more than us, because if we do that, we will continue to be ungrateful. And this is the natural instinct of every human being. We want to always look at those people who have more than us, and that makes us ungrateful. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا حسد إلا على اثنتين. لا حسد إلا على اثنين. There's no hasad. A person is not allowed to be jealous or envious except in two situations. You're allowed to be jealous of رجلاً آتاه الله القرآن فيتلوه آناء الليل وأطراف النهار. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, you're allowed to be jealous of that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Qur'an, and he recites it night and day. You're allowed to be jealous of him, not jealous in a malicious way, but wishing that you could be like him. This is one kind of person. And the other person, وَرَجُلًا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَيُنْفِقُهُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him wealth, and you don't become jealous of him because of his being wealthy, and you could be wealthy like him, but you become jealous of him because he has the ability to give in charity, and you wish You had that kind of money so that you can also give in charity. Otherwise, no other form of jealousy is allowed in Islam. And in fact, this does not even meet the definition of jealousy. Hasad in Arabic is to, you know, be jealous of a person and to wish that he doesn't have that blessing anymore. You get that blessing and that person doesn't have that blessing anymore. This is the definition of jealousy. What this hadith is saying, that person, he maintains his blessing that he has, and you also want to have it. This in Arabic is known as ghibta. So it's only allowed in these two situations. So the tendency is always that we look at the people that have more than us. If we were to look at the people who have less than us, think of those people who don't know where their next meal is coming from. In many countries, there are people who have to walk for 4 or 5 miles to get water from a water pump. The women have to do that. 4 or 5 hours a day is wasted in just fetching water so that the family can survive. And then all of the rest of the other blessings, this is just a basic blessing that we take for granted, having running water in the house. What about all the other blessings that we see and have and we benefit from night and day? Please move forward. There's people coming in the back. There's a lack of space. Just please fill up the spaces. But on the other hand, when it comes to religious things, we look at the people who do less than us. In terms of religion, well, at least I come for Jummah. He doesn't even come for Eid prayer. Okay, so basically consoling oneself that at least I do more than that other person. But in terms of religion, we should always look at those people who did more than us. Read the story of the Sahaba and how they used to spend their time in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even those Sahaba that have been given the glad tidings of Jannah, how they used to act and how they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they used to cry at night, thinking that their worship was never enough. So we have to always take an example from what the Sahaba did and what our pious predecessors did. And not look at those people who are less than us in terms of religion. Look at those people who have more than us and who do more than us so that we can follow in their footsteps, inshallah. The next advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَصِلَ الرَّحِمْ وَإِنْ أَدْبَرَتْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered me to enjoin good relationships even if they turn their back from you. Again, this takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of patience that a person is being shunned by his relatives. His relatives are turning their back on him. They give me a hard time, but he continues to maintain good relationships with them. This takes a lot of sabr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that a person should try to do that. وَأَمَرَنِي أَلَّا أَسْأَلَ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا. He ordered me that I should never ask anybody for anything. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever we need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't tire from giving to us. People will get tired from giving, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not get tired. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and our necessities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will open up the ways to fulfill our needs and our necessities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a Sahabi, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice with which people will start loving me. Give me some advice with which people will start loving me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that don't look at their possessions, meaning don't ask anybody for anything, people will start loving you. So this is a very good and basic advice. The next advice from the Prophet ﷺ, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُرًّا. He ordered me to say the truth even if it is bitter. Sometimes a person is called upon to say the truth and his friend is on the receiving end. His friend, he's being, you know, prosecuted or he's being tormented by people, and the third person is brought in to do the judgment. Okay, you tell the truth about this situation. So, do we side with our friend even though he is lying, he's not telling the truth? Or do we stand for the truth and basically go against that person who is our friend? We have to say the truth even if it is bitter. And that's why one of the major sins is to bear false testimony. To bear false testimony is a major sin. Shahadatu zur. But the problem is that we see it all the time. Especially in our countries back home. If a person is in trouble, brings about a false alibi, brings him to court, and he is, even though he is guilty, but because he provides this false alibi and the person, being his friend, comes in and testifies for him, he gets off scot-free from the crime that he committed. And because of this issue which people regard as being so small, the whole society becomes corrupt. We regard it as being something small, but in fact it is something big. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he declared that shahadatu zur, meaning false testimony, it is from the mubiqat. Mubiqat meaning the muhlikat, the destroying sins, the major sins. And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقَّ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُرًّا. He ordered me to say the truth even if it is bitter. وَأَمَرَنِي أَلَّا أَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And he ordered me that I should not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should not fear in the situation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any person who is scolding me. Meaning, if I am practicing my deen, if I am observing my religion, if I am doing what I am supposed to be doing in terms of trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from his disobedience, and somebody has a problem with that, then I should not be bothered with that person who has a problem with it. And again, nowadays we have so many problems as Muslims in this country that a person sometimes feels that he is being, you know, persecuted or criticized just because he's a practicing Muslim. But if we keep this advice of the Prophet ﷺ in mind, that we should not fear anybody's criticism when we are trying to practice our religion, this is something that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it so much. And a person, he tries to practice his religion when there are so many difficulties, this is the means of so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are hadith which indicate that a person who tries to observe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the times when there are difficulties to observe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll be given the reward of 100 martyrs. So a person who's a martyr, what is the reward for that? A person who gets killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is martyred, the reward is that a person's sins are forgiven. All of his sins go straight to Jannah. So a person who is observing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gets the reward of 100 martyrs. So the other hadith which we often hear all the time, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. Islam, it started off as a strange thing, and there'll come a time when it will become strange again. To try to practice the religion, it will become a strange phenomenon. It will be something that a person who is practicing is regarded as an oddity. Something that is odd, something strange. But the Prophet ﷺ gave the glad tidings that a person who maintains his religion in the situation when people regard it as odd and strange, he will get tuba. Tuba, a tree in Jannah, or Jannah itself, that means. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. And it all boils down to this thing that we should not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when somebody is trying to criticize us when we are trying to practice our religion. This is not something that we should be afraid of. And there are so many sub-issues regarding to that. How we dress, how we introduce ourselves, our names even. And I've mentioned this a few times before, that people change their names so that they can fit in better. Muhammad becomes Mo, Yahya becomes John. Okay, so this is not what we're supposed to be doing. If somebody has a problem with our name, we should not be afraid of saying our true name, our true Muslim name. Our name, whose name is the name of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Why should we be not proud of displaying that name with affection? So we should not be afraid when somebody criticizes us when we're trying to practice our religion. And the last thing the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُكْفِرَ مِنْ قَوْلٍ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُنَّ مِنْ كَنْزٍ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he ordered me, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari says, he ordered me that I should increase my saying, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Because these words, they are from a treasure which is from underneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah mean? That means that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability and the strength to make me be obedient to Him. That's why when the mu'adhin calls out hayya ala salah and hayya ala al-falah, the response to that is what? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. That people who are outside in a marketplace, and we see this many times in our countries, they hear the call, Hayya ala salah. They hear the call, Hayya ala falah. But they don't proceed to the masjid. Why? Our response to the muaddin is, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We respond to it, and the reason is that Allah is the one who brings the people to the masjid. Allah is the one who gives the tawfiq. Allah is the one who gives the ability. Allah is the one who gives guidance. So this was the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And it is one of those hadith that if we just put this hadith into practice, it can change our life for the better. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. We have a few announcements to make. First of all, everyone is requested to please donate to the masjid so we can cover the monthly expenses. The monthly expenses we discuss, it's over 30,000 per month in our masjid. So really, we would like to, at least people to donate $20 and reserve that much for the Friday prayers. The Islamic School of Irving is holding its annual fundraising dinner on Saturday, March 1st at the Weston Airport, DFW. You're requested to try to participate in that. And the motivational speaker is Abdul Rauf Al-Khwalde, who's going to be there. And the Baitul Mal annual fundraising dinner is going to be held on the following Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Radisson Hotel, DFW, South 4600 West Airport Freeway. And the guest speaker will be Sheikh Zubair Boshiki from Houston. And a sudden change in weather conditions in Somalia has caused a tragic situation. Livestock and wildlife have been affected by that. And a lot of people have become destitute overnight because of that. And please make dua for those who are affected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for them. Iqnamas is having their annual Young Muslim Quiz Competition, which is going to be on February 24th and March 9th at IANT. And the registration is still open for kids aged 3 to 25. At ymquiz.com. Ymquiz, ym meaning young Muslim, quiz.com. The Oasis magazine, which is the magazine for the Islamic Center of Irving, is available in the lobby. please pick up a copy. It's free. Please keep a pick up a copy of your magazine. Brother Aslam Islam died on last Saturday due to a heart attack in Bangladesh. Everyone is requested to pray for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a high place in Jannah and forgive his sins. And the 2008 calendars are available at $5 each. You are requested to pick that up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ